KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Happy trails to you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again for another edition of Happy Trails as we keep our eyes on the prize, a regional trail system all throughout Humboldt County. Emily and I today are going to be focusing our attention up north to Del Norte County. Joining us on the phone this morning, we've got Rob Homeland and also Terry Supahan. Did I get those names right?
Right.
You did.
I've been practicing. All right. So, good morning to you all, and thanks for coming on Happy Trails. Do appreciate that. So, anyway, we are looking at this is the Smith River Rancheria project to improve 101 through Smith River for bicycles and pedestrians. Is that correct?
That is.
Mm-hmm. So now there was just a meeting, right?
We did. We had the tribe hosted a public meeting last week.
How did that go?
You know, it went surprisingly well. At one point in the meeting, a word that I'd learned from Patrick Cleary at the Humboldt Area Foundation talked about tension, and I added polite tension. We had polite tension because we had different
tension points
of view. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds like Congress.
We hope it sounds like Congress. Sometimes it's not so polite.
Yeah, Congress is not that polite either most of the time. But anyway, so how did that polite tension go?
I thought it went very well. We had people got out different points of view, longstanding citizens, people who had lived in the community for a long time, had some ideas about safety and signs and how things could be improved. And the tribe had their own point of view, and we're trying to bring it together and get some consensus in Del Norte County.
So, if you could describe the two viewpoints, what's different about them?
Anytime volunteers do something and it's off the right of way on private land, and by God, that's how it is. It's kind of how it should be sometimes. I mean, that's kind of one perspective. And if a whippersnapper comes along and has a different idea and says, well, maybe we could make changes closer in the right of way or right in the middle of the right of way, that's always going to make things different. And so there's some signage already that a volunteer group has put up that they want. There's not a consensus, but some people either want the sign to stay up or be moved, et cetera. And even the logo, even the branding, people can have an opinion about what something looks like. And the tribe wants they want some of their own designs, basket designs, salmon, steelhead. So it's just again sometimes the culture it's not a culture clash so much as a culture difference. And so we were trying to work those out last week.
So
if I can jump in there,
please,
to give a little bit of little context.
Yes.
So we're talking about a 4.5 mile long corridor through the town of Smith River and through the Rancheria area of Smith River Rancheria. And in that 4.5 mile segment, you really have two communities, both of them completely divided by 101. And so you have half the community on one side of 101 and half the community on the other side. And then a little further up the road, you have the Rancheria, which is also divided by 101. And so it's very unsafe for pedestrians to cross the highway. You have really high travel speeds. And so the intent of the project is to slow people down, do a series of traffic calming measures, and I can get into the different measures that we're considering. But you have the tribal community on one end and the non-tribal community on the other end. And so one of the approaches of the project is to insert gateway signs that help motorists identify the fact that they have just entered a community. And there's actually two communities. And so what Terry's talking about is the design of these signs is entirely open right now. And, you know, we have engaged the tribal council and the community in this meeting the other night. in helping us identify what the branding of these communities would be, where the signs would be located. And there's actually existing signs in the southern end of the project area in the town of Smith River. And so we're currently debating whether to keep the current signs or to upgrade them or to completely replace them.
So is the safety issue crossing 101 or riding along 101 through those communities, or both?
It's both. The tribal council a number of years ago, that was the one word that drove the whole project, was trying to make it safer, the intersections and being on 101, both for people who live on 101, walk across it, walk along it. There's a number of busy intersections, and I think that that's always for rural communities that are unincorporated. It's a challenge when you have a state highway running through the middle of your history and your town.
That's right. Now, I assume that 101 at that point is not freeway, but it's a road through the community. Is that correct?
I think they call it an expressway.
Expressway.
Right? It's classified in two different ways, which means there's two different sets of rules through the areas there. One's an expressway and one's a highway. And that differentiates what Caltrans will allow the speed limit to be set at unless the speed surveys are done. So you actually go out and measure the speed and find out the average speed and the 85th percentile speed, and then that determines what the speed limit can be set at. And so our goal is to implement a number of physical measures that will slow people down so that we can test speeds again in the future, so that we are so that the segment is qualified to install even further treatments.
What is the speed limit currently?
It's currently 55.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to, there's been talk of a number of different kind of treatments that don't currently qualify, so we'd like to get that speed down, the average speed down to 50 or the 85th percentile down to 50 or lower, especially around the intersections where, it's not just motorists and pedestrians, or not just pedestrians and bikes, but also motorists. There's a lot of rear-end accidents where people are slowing down to take lefts into, the community, and they're getting hit from behind because other people are just trying to blast through as fast as they can.
Yeah, taking
a Cliff.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Cliff, I think that's a key point that Rob mentioned about the 85th percentile and bringing the speeds down throughout the corridor. I mean, those of us who aren't road engineers, we say, well, if the county and the community has said, why don't we make it slower? It's not such an easy thing. I mean, Caltrans has, as they told us, you can't make it a speed trap. That's illegal. You can't all of a sudden put up signs to make it 35, even if that's what everybody wants that lives there locally, because you have to bring it down gradually. This is a long-term process that we're committed to.
So fortunately, we have a bag of tricks that we can implement that'll slow people down.
Okay, I assume, things like roundabouts are a bit much for a highway or an expressway, if you will. But what other calming measures can you use aside from that? Thinner lanes or what?
I don't think roundabouts are off limits in the future. I mean, certainly they're done throughout the world. You just have to design for them and build towards that. But that's not what this project is about. This project is about signage and colorization of the shoulders and trying to make travelers that are going through Redwood Country to realize, we're coming up on a community. There's people and kids and signs and schools, and how do we slow them down from their 55 or 65 miles an hour to something that alerts them to, there's a change in this roadway.
Exactly, yeah. And, roundabouts are definitely applicable to highways. In Route 20 in Lake County, they've just installed a roundabout right near the town of Nice, and it's very similar to this project area. However, currently the speeds are too high for a roundabout to qualify, so in the interim, to slow speeds down, we're suggesting or designing colorized shoulders, optical speed bars, radar feedback signs, gateway signs, landscaping, advanced street signage, intersection treatments, landscaping, a number of treatments that in combination make it feel more like a community and less like a freeway blasting through town.
Now, I don't know if you can take a page out of what was done here in Humboldt County, but the 101 between Eureka and Arcata was designated a few years back a safety corridor. Speed limits were dropped from 65 miles an hour to 50 through that safety corridor. It's 101, and it does have some cross traffic on that area, and because of that, there was an enormous amount of accidents and fatalities, and it was quite dangerous. And it was also used as a bicycle corridor as well. Slowing down the speed limit to 50 has made a substantial difference. The data shows that. I don't know what is involved in declaring something a safety corridor, but 50 is that sounds like the speed limit you were looking at.
Yeah, well, that's one of the goals, to get to that or lower. Though mm-hmm. the segment between Arcata and Eureka is a totally different type of highway. It's a divided two lanes in each direction. Mm-hmm. Though anyone that's biked from Eureka to Arcata, I can tell you there's a really big difference in being on the side of the road as a car passes you at 50 versus a car being passing you at 65.
Oh, yeah.
A reduction of 15 miles an hour makes a really big difference. So for this area, a safety corridor similar to the Arcata-Eureka corridor isn't exactly what we're doing, but it's relatively similar. We will have the radar feedback signs.
Mm-hmm.
So the sign that shows you what your current speed is versus the posted speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
In Manila right now, Caltrans just recently, maybe a month or so ago, installed optical speed bars, which are a series of equally spaced white bars that are in the roadway along the sides, hanging off of the center line and the fog line. And the spacing between those gradually decreases, which is, it has a subliminal effect on drivers that make them feel like suddenly they've sped up when actually they're just maintaining the same speed, which then causes them to slow down.
Interesting.
That effect only lasts for about 30 seconds, and so then you have to hit them with something else. So then that's when landscaping and the radar feedback signs come in. So in combination, all of these things in sequence will really have the effect of slowing people down.
And thinking about the safety corridor between Eureka and Arcata, as I recall, that definitely took either a legislative action or more action at the state level, really based on they were meeting a lot of the warrants as far as number of collisions and fatalities. So that's kind of like an extreme measure that kind of is an artificial placement of a speed limit on a roadway that is designed much more for higher speeds. And with the work in Manila as well, Caltrans has already started to implement all of the measures, a lot of the measures that Rob just mentioned, and they also have released the 250 State Route 255 feasibility study, comments of which are due today, actually. But it's a really similar situation for so many communities on the North Coast that are split by a state highway. So I think a lot of the measures that you all are looking at in Smith River could really benefit a lot of other communities, including Manila.
That's right, Emily. And Caltrans has been very helpful. And as you point out, the safety corridor between Eureka and Arcata, Caltrans commissioned an engineered feasibility study, and this is part of a safety corridor, a 10-mile safety corridor from the Dr. Fine Bridge on the Smith River to the Oregon border. And this project is just comes out of that study. It's one of a series of projects that could be done to make that corridor safer in the future. But it's to do what was done between Eureka and Arcata was a major legislative effort as well.
What about in the crossing 101, which is always can be a dangerous thing? And it's probably an expensive thought, but any thought given to a bicycle and pedestrian bridge across 101?
You'd need a phenomenal amount of room to do an overcrossing.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be ADA compliant, probably, which means that you'd have 5% grade, which means it would go an awful long way before you got to the height where you could span the top of the highway. So it would be, you know, in the magnitude of an eighth or a quarter of a mile long going up the ramp to get up and over, and then you'd have to get back down. It would require too much space. So even if money wasn't an obstacle, the amount of physical space required for that would be.
Which is a good question, and the tribal council asked the same one, Cliff. But
I've seen that accomplished with a spiral rather than just a long ramp, using a spiral ramp. It doesn't take up as much space. I've seen that done in communities dealing with that same issue with space and ADA compliance. But it is an expensive prospect, no doubt about that.
Well, and it's one of the strategies that was considered in the transportation charrette, a week-long planning effort that the tribe contracted with a local government commission to kick off this whole process, to look at, kind of brainstorm as a community a number of different options. And that was one of the things that they talked about. And it kind of came down to the fact that maybe we could work with Caltrans on making the whole corridor safer as opposed to the busiest, worst intersection. And that's where we're looking at. This project actually looks at four of the busiest, most critical intersections in the community of Smith River.
And I'm also just curious if you could speak to how this project came into being. Since this project is being funded through one of the last Tiger Grant programs that's probably, you know, coming through from the federal government at this point, and was one of only three in the state, and highly competitive federal program, the Transportation Investments Generating Economic Recovery Grant program, and just of how that came together and who was involved, because it's really spectacular to get that kind of grant here in our rural area.
Sure. Terry will talk about how the tribe acquired the grants, but just for your listeners' information, for background information, TIGER is it's a grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation, and stands for Transportation Investments Generating Economic Recovery. 2009 was the first round. It was approved by Congress, and they granted $1.5 billion for transportation projects throughout the U.S. The following year, it was less, and then 2011, which the tribe applied, was only $500 million. And there's a possibility of Tiger 4 and 5. I haven't kept up with that, but I believe that's still possible. So in 2011 is when the tribe applied for Tiger Round 3.
Yeah, actually... Emily, and that was a good question about how it got started, but Kathy Moxon and Peter Pennekamp had encouraged me to attend the National Rural Assembly, and I heard a presentation back at their national convention in Minnesota by the Smart Growth America that we're looking for a few good projects, as it were, to help a rural community put together a quality competitive proposal. And I came back and told the rancheria about it, and they were excited about the possibilities, and we instantly started working. It was a very tight deadline, very whole lot of moving parts in a very brief amount of time, but we worked closely with the consultants that Smart Growth America recommended, and we were able to get the grant.
Well, it's great to have that much of a collaborative effort and really plug into, you know, resources and experience from other rural areas across the country, and that's great. That's great. And just thinking about of how that type of collaboration can be a model for other communities here, and just wondering if you had other thoughts on what you see as key opportunities to improve rural transportation, you know, on the North Coast and you know, for tribes and rancherias?
Well, I think the phrase that Cliff and I were joking about at the beginning of polite tension with the word you just used, Emily, collaboration, I think those are keys in getting anything done on a small or regional level. And I dream big, and I dream of people working together on things that matter to them, and I think we can do this kind of stuff in other places. Even if Tiger's not refunded, there's always going to be different pots of money to go after, and collaboration is just a big key to that.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you all for taking the time to talk with us this morning. Unfortunately, we are pretty much out of time. Emily, are there any things that are on the plate that we need to look at before we wrap this up today?
Well, next week we're going to be talking about City of Eureka issues, and we're going to be talking to the one of the chair or member of the Open Space and Parks and Recreation Committee, but we'll also touch on some of the trail developments that we've been giving brief updates on, you know, in Eureka. But I really want to thank Rob and Terry for talking about the project up in Smith River, and really appreciate it. I feel like we all learned a lot.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Uh-huh. And this conversation and all conversations on Happy Trails, you'll find podcasts at iTunes and at KHUM.com. Just look for Happy Trails.
Happy Trails to you.